This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So my next interview is with Vivica Melky. She's a filmmaker who has a passion for life. She has a passion for a whole lot of things. And her new film, After Circus, is really all about that. It's about passion. It's about memory. It's about recollection. It's about retirement and the questions that kind of surround that, what I would call that dubious notion, and how all of us we're having to sort of look at what that actually means and remaking ourselves. And it's about innovation, and it's about this group of people who are so committed and intentional and focused, not only on their families, but this different kind of life that they've chosen that they absolutely love. And if you've ever been to the circus, if you've ever been on stage or backstage or part of a theatrical production of any kind, you are going to absolutely love this film. It's a charming look at life, actually, in so many respects. And you're going to love the interview with Vivica. She is, as I said, just a passionate woman who has a whole lot to say about a whole lot of things. And look for a few of her new projects coming up. We interrupt this program from, I believe, is going to be with CBC Documentary Channel and a show that she's putting together called Wallflowers. Check that out as well. And June the 12th, Sunday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I believe, the film After Circus will be appearing on the Documentary Channel. So buckle up and enjoy After Circus. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We are live and in person, well, at least for us anyway, here at the Park Hyatt in Toronto at Hot Talks with Vivica Melky, a filmmaker, and her new film, After Circus.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining
us
today.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and we've got this gorgeous day and this sunshine kind of as a nice metaphor for what we're probably about to talk about.
It's fantastic. That's right. I feel like I'm in Sarasota, Florida, so that's
nice,
good. 17 degrees.
Kind of appropriate. And I, too, have spent a fair bit of time there, and so I do know a little bit about that circus culture. I've got a little bit of a background, and maybe we can talk about that in the variety and the performing arts. A lot of my friends are jugglers, ventriloquists. I'm a magician, as most of my listeners know. So always been fascinated by the
it's
circus.
An amazing,
my dad, in
fascinating
fact,
world.
Took me to the circus every year at Maple Leaf Gardens
yes.
in Toronto for many years. There's something about it. It's kind of like it's an event. It's a celebration.
Actually, Dolly Jacobs was here in town for the film festival.
Wow.
And as we drove
okay.
past, she said, "That's where I performed at the Maple Leaf Gardens."
So I probably
so
saw
they,
her
you know,
as
you probably did. I
and
mean,
so
these folks have so much history all over America.
So Dolly Jacobs, probably the main character of the film,
yes.
I would say, and then sort of her connections, I guess, her family and her partner on stage, basically, and in the circus on the trapeze and so on. Tell me a little bit about her. I mean, fascinating woman. I mean, her opening line in the film, and clearly by choice, is something about, basically, what am I going to do now that I'm 50? Yeah. Maybe there's a place I can go.
Yeah,
right?
Dolly is a fascinating person. And the thing about Dolly is that she actually is exactly what you see on screen. The vulnerability and openness is there as a person. And I recognized that the very first time I met her. I remember I was in what we call development with the CBC, my broadcaster, and I met her as I was leaving Sarasota. And I said, "You have to send me back. I've met her, but I have to go back." And so Dolly is at a key point in her career where she has to stop performing because physically she cannot go forever, as most high-skilled artists, athletes almost at that level. And so, yeah, she is thinking of what's the future. Her and Pedro, her husband and the CEO of Circus Sarasota, did have the vision to start Circus Sarasota. So their After Circus is a circus. And about 700 children who actually are at the Salus Circus circus school that they have started.
700 students?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Wow.
It's an incredible program. We see it a little bit in the film. It's an after-school program. It's that these kids are not even maybe going to be in circus full-time in their lives, but that the circus arts becomes a part of their everyday reality. And it's like a sport for them after school.
It's a social outlet.
It's a social outlet. It's actually a value system.
Well, what they're learning is a value system. Well, a way of life, really, mm-hmm. isn't it? And a discipline.
Absolutely. The discipline is amazing.
I love the discipline of it, the attention to detail. Right?
The focus.
The focus is remarkable.
And in the film, at the end of the film, there's this scene where they're getting ready to go on stage or into center ring.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting a shiver,
actually. The audience just loves that scene because it's absolute focus.
I was backstage there with them. I could feel the energy, the crowd, the lighting. It was absolutely perfect. So is this a circus they run on a weekly basis kind of a thing?
Circus Sarasota is a non-moving circus. So they have, I believe it's an eight-week show. Once a year, but they run the Sailor Circus School all year.
Right, and then
they have two other shows throughout the year. So it's a fully functioning, incredibly busy business.
So you're not going to believe this. So 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to share it with this woman, Julia Molden, who's written a book called Ripe. And basically what it's all about is life after 50. Mm-hmm. So a week before I see your film, I'm at a workshop talking about what can people do after 50? We've been told that we have to retire. We've been told that we have to retrain, that we're too old to do X, Y, and Z, that millennials are going to take our jobs, et cetera. So I'm watching this film in her opening line, Dolly Jacobs, and I go, you can't write this stuff.
No.
The timing was so perfect because for me, this wasn't just a film about the circus. It was about memory and about recollection and about looking back fondly and this community. I mean, this scene where they're all getting together kind of like at the Legion, you know, all these old performers hobbling in and to chat about old memories.
Yeah.
And some of these women are in their 90s, late 80s and 90s. They're remarkable.
Well, you bring up a few interesting topics, so I'll start with
the one
about being over 50. I don't come from Canada. I come from West Africa, from the Gambia, and my heritage is Brazilian-Lebanese. So let's just say that I come from a mix of cultures,
indeed.
I think that affects the way I see aging. I don't really see it the same way as other people. You know, in my, just example, in my heritage, the elders of a community have a certain wisdom. And that's not something that you even have to redo. It's a journey, and you arrive at that stage, and that stage has a certain respect that comes with it. I think that's what I understood when I met with the circus community, the way they care for their parents, the way their parents even go on the road with them in their trailers until they are not able to anymore. So that is a community, a sense of family that goes on for a long time after they stop performing.
We have a way of kind of filing our old people away, don't we? We really do here in
I'd like to say I had a father who the film is dedicated to, who sadly passed on, and he had a form of dementia. So there is no judgment when there is care in a society for the elderly. It's very important. But when there is an ability to keep the skills, the laughter, the love, when you can keep those things in a family together, these folks certainly do as much as they can to do so. And then show folks that you mentioned is where they really come alive. And Father Hogan, who's the priest in the film, he's actually with the circus ministry.
He blesses
the Ringling train. He's the Ringling priest.
He
once said to me in research, he said, these folks come alive when they're amongst their own. And they do it show.
Well, there's
folks.
A really, I mean, one of the themes for me. I've got about 6-7 interviews for Hot Docs this year, and all of the films really are talking about this sense of community and how important it is to be with others, and to.
Do you think we're losing that sense in our society?
Yeah, I don't want to go all cynical on you, but I think I think on some level we are. I mean, I think I'd like to think that as families we're creating a sense of community in behind our closed doors. But I'm not really sure we're reaching out. You know, I'm coming in on the train this morning, and there was a little conversation between two people who didn't know each other, and they were creating this little sense of community. He had broken his foot, and
they were actually talking to each other, and they weren't texting each other?
Exactly, two human beings. Isn't that remarkable?
That's
didn't
remarkable.
Know each other. Yeah, but they bonded over a broken bone. And isn't that interesting that, you know, oh, and so he was sort of commiserating, and they were talking, sharing war stories, basically.
Yeah.
And I kind of smiled about that, and maybe the sunshine helped today, you know? But yeah, I think...
It's about connection, and I think that they recognized that not only did I used to be a performer myself, but I understood, let's cut it right down to that backstage moment.
Yes.
That I understood that focus, and that I wasn't going to be in the way of what they were doing. And the hardest thing is filming performers. They're used to performing.
Yes,
have to film for years before they let go.
I think I read somewhere that said it took you maybe 2 years to gain
it
your trust.
It did. It took me 2 years.
Which is fascinating to me.
Yes, and then I started really filming in year three. Because it's, first of all, I mean, it's a community that has been filmed quite a bit, and they're filmed all the time. I mean, these folks have hundreds of hours of footage of themselves filmed all over the world.
I love the
cameras.
Old archival stuff, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's just wonderful
I
stuff.
Love archives.
Yeah, I'm, wonderful, especially with Marcus. It just
no, it was amazing. And those were their personal archives that they had. So it just took time for us to build a relationship of trust, for them to forget that we were there. And with performers, that's harder. And I knew that from the beginning.
I would say, I mean, knowing a lot of performers, I would say you really did capture them. I mean, they didn't strike me, Pedro and Rafael and so on, did not strike me as people who were working you.
No,
they weren't working the camera.
At first.
And maybe at first, yeah. Maybe I didn't get to see all that other footage.
That's not in the film.
but you know, there's this sense... when they say, and I think this speaks to the level of community and family and so on, and it really is kind of a family tradition, isn't it? Dolly's father
it
was
is,
a clown
dynasties.
And so on.
Yeah.
It's in our blood.
You know,
they really take that seriously, right? This
you
is
know.
A sense of pride and identity and so on.
It really is, and I think, you know, I'm an immigrant to Canada, and my family majority isn't here. My sister's here, but my roots are back in Africa, you could say. And however, I think there are things that you carry in your blood. There are parts of your heritage that are always there, and I think that I was fascinated by that in the film. Dolly actually has diabetes, which is one of the reasons I talk about it, because the theme of what's in her blood is actually not just her love of performing. It's a daily reality for her. And I was impressed by her courage and resilience and her managing of that. I just wanted to see that my family has diabetes in four sides of my family.
There's probably not many many careers that you're driven to kind of a forced retirement at such a young age. I mean, I guess if you're a clown,
they're
you
young.
Can be
we're,
a clown
we're talking 35, 40.
Yeah. Well, isn't it Raphael who said about 40?
That's
right.
Wonder? It's really, you know,
stress on your body.
It's very hard on the body.
What did you call them earlier? The I
think I refer to them as athletes, but
yes, of course. Yeah.
I don't know the story. I don't know the exact phrase.
Yeah,
but
I mean, they are aerial.
We're talking about people who have to practice every day or every other day. They have to keep their bodies maintained. Their bodies really are temples, and if they stop, it's very hard. So, I mean, a lot of young performers have come out to see the film, which has been great. Mm. And some of them came out to me after and said, okay, this film has inspired me that if I actually take care of myself, I could continue longer.
Right.
Because it
right.
simply is very, very difficult. I don't think we realize that sometimes it's painful for them to be up there.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
straps
yeah.
and wires and it's not easy.
There's a woman, I think it's Thelma, who sprains her ankle.
Thelma, I think she sprained her ankle, she broke her ankle. I think she was sprained
it,
yes.
And you're interviewing her when she's 82, and to hear her talk about how, you know, when you're hurt in the circus, you got to get up and
you
go
just
on,
get back
right?
up.
What a great metaphor for pretty much everything.
That's what the film was about for
me.
I mean, I think we've referred to the fact that I usually make a lot of films about war, around World War, and I make films about resilient cultures, and a big part of this is their courage and their resilience, which... You just get back up. You know, Pedro's like, you get out there, you do it.
You do.
Know?
The show must go on, right?
That's right.
Got to go on. So,
that's right.
So tell me a little bit about the performers themselves. And I've often wondered, why did I resonate with being in front of an audience? And I think part of the reason I'm pursuing a podcast, and you know, I'm over 200 in some interviews now in the last couple of years. For me, it's a bit of a performance. There's no stage here today.
Yeah,
there's
that's
no.
Right.
There's no audience, but I still feel as if, like, when a good interview ends, I'm exhilarated.
It's funny. I understand what you mean. I can feel the audience even if they're not here.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because we've been in front of the audience.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
No, I think you might be right. But I've wondered in my own life. I've kind of done a little bit of that. Why did I? It seems a little vain, you know. on some level?
I don't know. I don't think so. Honestly, having been a performer myself, and I actually love teaching more in the end.
Oh, okay.
I was one of those people, but okay. I think we're giving something. And I don't think it's, I've never felt it's vanity, and I don't think it's their vanity either. I really have seen folks that go out there and they want to give you joy. They want you to have an experience and a good experience, and if you walk away and they have become a memory for you, then that's what matters. And that's why it's so hard if we forget them. That's why it's so hard if their names get erased, because that's all they are. That's what will stay with you, who they were, that moment for you. We'll remember it forever. And I wrote this film because I had those memories of amazing performances. Mm-hmm. And you never forget it.
No,
and
you really don't.
You know, and my daughter, who's 5, just saw a magician. I don't think she'll ever forget it.
Right.
You know, and
I remember
that's
the first time I saw a magician.
Yeah, and look what happened.
A crazy woman dressed up like a bunny. Who did magic. I'm not kidding. I was about 5. And there was a couple things that she did. That's 45 years ago. And I have this, I'm there. I mean, I can feel it. I can see it. The sense of wonder and joy that I felt. Yeah, so it's really, you're right.
So I love that moment of wonder, that moment of magic. And we need those moments, you know.
I forget who it was talked about the traditional circus being in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And I think, was it just in the last couple of days, there was
a rule.
So
yesterday, Ringling had pulled the elephants off the road for the last time. It was a sad day for the circus
for
people.
For good across the board.
Yeah.
And is that a trend? Is that sort of where
that's,
the circus
I think
is
that's
heading?
A trend, from what I've understood, in that Europe doesn't have as many animals anymore in their circuses, and America is one of the last, I think, continents. You know, actually in Asia, there are still quite a few. But yes, as far as I understand, that is a trend. For many reasons.
Was it a lot? Did it have to do? And it just hit me now. But was it really an activism kind of a thing? Was it animal activists? Was it animal rights? Was it?
You know,
groups?
I honestly cannot answer for Ringling because I did not. I chose not to focus on Ringling.
Right. Yeah. No, you didn't really bring that in at all.
Frankly, it takes over the film. Like
it's
so big that I really wanted to stay.
Right?
It is another film. Yeah. Thank you for acknowledging that.
Yeah, yeah.
It is another film. And frankly, when you put animals in a film, it becomes another film. That everybody wants animals in a film, so it's kind of.
Sure.
So I really wanted to stay on the retirement issue. But I can say that it's something that they knew was coming for a while. The elephants have retired, I believe, to a huge reserve. So I'm sorry, I can't actually answer the details of that.
Mm-hmm.
I can say I could tell
way,
you that
I
it
suppose.
Was not. I did not spend any time with animals in Sarasota. I really spent it with the people. And if there were animals, sometimes it was not easy to get near them because they were afraid. They are afraid of people hurting their animals.
Right,
so,
sure.
So it was really, over 3 years, it was not something easy.
So when they say it's in jeopardy, are they essentially making a comment about mass media, internet, film houses, those kinds of things?
People I think that's more what it's about.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's because it's the tiny details, whether it's that now we are more entertained by everything we see online or on television,
sure.
or whether it's that we demand something that's more dangerous, something that's faster. It's as if we forget these are real people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're telling me a story about being on the train this morning.
Yes.
And connection.
Yes.
That's what this is about. It's about being 10 feet from somebody who's real, who's getting up there and risking their life and performing and practicing for hours to do something. And I just hope that that's still enough for our society.
Would you say that a lot of them want kids? And I'm not going to just focus on the kids, but kids and adults, families, to walk away going, wasn't that wonderful? Is that kind of what they want, that sense of maybe not remembering that triple loop or whatever it is that they do, but just
a
this overall feeling, this sense
You're
of,
absolutely right.
Yeah.
And if I may say, your background as a magician is showing right now. Because you understand that.
Yes.
That it's a feeling that you leave with people. And yes, you won't remember whether it was a triple, double.
That's right.
But
right.
You will remember the sparkle, and you'll remember the feeling.
Yes,
and
the energy of the audience, right?
You know, and I think that's what's so hard when you have Raphael's father who has Parkinson's, or many of the parents have Alzheimer's, and you know, when those things disappear for us, it's so hard.
Is it disappearing? So you got 700 students.
I mean, just a clear sign. Pedro Reis was here at the festival a few days ago, and he basically said, look, in 84, I think he said there were 3 circus schools. Now there are over 300.
Whoa,
so
amazing.
It's not It's not going away. It is perhaps transitioning into something different. And I'm from Quebec as a filmmaker, so we know that Nouveau Cirque is big. And so I don't think it's going away. In fact, I think we have a certain respect for the physical nature of that art and the beauty of it. But I think everything transitions in life. I think, you know, things, we want entertainment differently. And I don't believe it's going to go away. I believe this is one of the most resilient subcultures in the world, frankly. You know, these are the folks that, that were hiding people in their caravans in World War II. Like, they're not going away.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I wonder if there'll be kind of a leveling off, and not a hiatus, but sort of a holiday, a sabbatical, if you will, and people will start to yearn more for it. I mean, I've noticed that there aren't as many that come into town.
Yeah, and that's actually almost about borders and costs. And you know, if we used to travel, I mean, you and I used to travel borders in a far easier manner, and for all the reasons that are valid, that is not as easy now. Now imagine traveling with caravans and animals, and it's just, it's more expensive, it's more difficult, and so that's really what's happening. That's why you see many shows traveling within the United States, and when they are coming. There's one this summer here in Toronto.
Just the, and also it is. The practicality
producing
of
a circus?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet.
That's big business.
I bet. You know, I honestly, and I'm not just saying this because we're talking about the circus, and it's partially because I've been doing magic since I was about 9, when I think I really decided to learn, to find some kind of teacher mentor. I got a book, The Amateur Magician's Handbook, and now you see it, now you don't, and just Bill Tarr, these wonderful memories I have. But I really did want to run away with the circus.
Yeah.
I had no idea what that meant, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm probably glad I didn't. But who knows?
Yeah. But you know, for Pedro, he was in South Africa. Mm. He was 14, I think, and he did run away with the circus, and that was to a better life.
Yes.
I think, you know, Pedro, I feel very connected to Pedro because in a lot of ways, Pedro was like me. I didn't come from film. Mm. You know, that was not an option when I was younger, and it became my career and my choice of passion, and it will never be different. This is what I'm supposed to do, and I just... But Pedro was similar. He did not come from a circus dynasty. He found his passion, and I think we were in Kensington Market the other day when this young woman came up and said to Dolly and Pedro, I saw the film, and it's amazing, and she said, and I haven't found my passion yet, but I'm looking. And I thought that was great.
Right.
That's what she took away from the film.
A metaphor for something else.
Yeah,
right?
That's what each one of us has to hopefully find that. And
well, that's the sprained ankle, and I'm going to get back up on the rope, right?
Yeah.
Because the show
just
must
get
go
back
on.
Up.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful metaphor for so many things, for all of us, and with respect to our friends and our relationships and the work we do and so on. Tell me about some of the regrets. I'm not sure who it was, but it might have been Thelma who said, I wish I hadn't listened to my mother and had stayed in the circus.
Yeah.
And she's got this woman who's fascinating woman who's a collector and has all kinds of stories.
She's amazing.
Just, yeah, I get that sense.
Thelma, there's not, you know, the reality of circus, I think, at that time was that there was not education on the circus train. There wasn't a school. Like, now there's a school.
Right. Yep.
Now the circus schools require of professional artists, like in Montreal, the National Circus School, they go to school till 3 o'clock and then they perform. It's because if you do have an accident, if something happens, what's plan
now,
B?
Now what?
And so that's the thing. And back when Thelma was, you know, on the train, it was just not the same reality. So, yes, she has that regret for stopping. And I love the line, if they offered me a job on the circus, I'd go right back. You know, it's just... But it's not... I didn't find there were people that had many regrets. I found there were people who had completely lived their passion and knew... Almost like there wasn't another option.
Right.
This was what you did, you know?
Right.
And that was for their children, too. Like, now, in circus families, you know, kids can choose many other things that they want to do. But there was a generation where that was what you did. You got up there. This was the family business.
Yeah, this was hard work.
This was what you did.
Yeah,
and you rehearsed the footage of archive of Raphael Palacios at 2, hanging on a trapeze.
I know. I was actually reflecting on that with somebody just the other day. We were talking about this idea of family, tradition, and so on, and I used that as an example.
Yeah.
Seeing this young boy
that's what you
being
did.
Held up. Oh, I was at a gymnastics class with my daughter.
Oh, there you
and
go.
And they were doing a very similar thing with these 3 and 4 year olds, and they're holding them up as if they're doing a move on the parallel bars. It's hysterical.
And she wasn't 20 feet above the ground without a net?
That's right.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, no. No. Well, it just gives you a sense for how committed
yes.
right, they are
yeah.
and how much of a family. Well, we're back to the whole it's in your blood.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
So there was somebody else who said something that I thought was really interesting, and maybe I got it wrong, but somebody was reflecting on one of the more current circuses out there today. We won't name any names. And said something about, you know, it's wonderful and it's visual and it's entertaining and isn't it great, but there's something missing. And I thought that was it. Did I?
That's Norma Fox was saying that, yes.
Did I take that in the right way? That
yeah, there is something. And this is what I was saying about memory.
Yeah.
And look, I stand by this as a politic. I mean, I'm a film director, and we started this interview with my name. Like, it's my art. I created something, and I really am a supporter of that. I think that an artist's name should be somewhere on their work. I think if they give you a piece of themselves
sure.
like that, at
sure.
least you can give them back as their name.
There is no after circus, right?
That's right.
Right, and I think that's a direct quote in the film near the end. It's is just about how to make sense of it now that things are changing.
So by the way, I thought there was an after circus when
right.
I started.
Can I just talk about
the progression of the director?
Right, because you were open enough that you didn't go. You had preconceived ideas, I'm sure.
Yes, but that's what good research is for.
Exactly, and the 2 years to gain the trust, and imagine the shift that had to occur in your life just to get to know these people a little more. I think it's remarkable. So for me, it's kind of a film about change as well.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And being open to change. And it must be incredibly difficult to be somebody who's doing all these incredible human feats to say, okay, today, you know what? I got to start thinking about something else and something other. It's going to be connected.
Yeah.
I'm going to find something that I'm passionate about. There isn't this regret. There isn't a depression. I'm sure there is for some acts.
Yeah.
But I just so love the people that you follow, at least the Jacobs family.
Their commitment to
making it work.
That's totally it. And Jeanette, there's a line in the film from Jeanette Williams. And when she says she stopped, and then she says, I died. You know, when I stopped, I died. I understand that line profoundly in my blood. You know, when I stopped dancing, there's a part of me that died. But you have to get up again, and you have to do something else, and you just have to understand that this is one of the phases of life, and that's why that line is, for me in the film, is one of the most profound, because I think when an artist does get injured, or when a performer, an athlete gets injured, when you lose your job, and you're 300 people put out on the pavement, and you don't know who you are anymore, you die, and then you have to get up again, and you have to think. And that is definitely from my roots of resilience as a person, and that's why all my films have that theme in it.
There's a sense that I, being a performer like that, has to be about getting out of bed in the morning, getting out of the right. I don't like cliches, but sadly I use them from time to time.
This whole idea
of getting out of bed on the right side.
Yeah.
And as a circus performer, you might get out of the bed on the wrong side, but you still got to get up on the trapeze.
Oh, you should hear the stories.
The courage, the taking on the flu.
Well,
Raphael, doesn't Raphael say when they perform with the flu, they perform with
100 degrees plus temperatures.
Wow.
You just don't let the audience down.
Yeah.
You deliver.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Which is quite remarkable. Well, Raphael, I think it was him who talks about fear right near the end of the film.
Yes.
And
I think I wrote the fear of stopping.
You can't give 100%.
You can't give 100%.
We're back to the whole.
And the focus. There's no net under Dolly and Raphael.
It's quite crazy.
He has to. That's why there's shots of the arms holding each other and the straps on the wrists. Their whole life is in that.
Yeah.
It's in their hands.
Yeah.
And he just, you cannot, you have to be focused.
It makes you wonder, you know, I'm sure there's been lots of books. In fact, I know a magician, Tom Ogden, has written a book about the circus, but I'm sure there's been lots of history and research done. But it would be interesting to do kind of an assessment, I don't know if you could, and say to people as a kid, you know, what did the circus mean to you? And did it plant seeds? And Could you make any kind of, I mean, we understand things, and I say this all the time on my podcast, it's partially the philosopher in me, but we understand when we look back, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to, I mean, for me, you know, as an existentialist, the circus is just this great metaphor about stepping forward into the future, and there is no after circus, man. This is just, This is living in the world.
That's right.
Yes, I'm 54 or 58 or 82. I mean, that great scene, the woman who's stretching,
the mother,
she's 92.
It's the mom of Dolly.
Sitting in the comfy chair, and she
pulls her,
and I'm trying, by the way, folks, trying to do it with my leg, and
I
maybe
can't
have it
now,
at 22 degrees.
And she puts her leg right up by her ear.
I laughed out loud, and I just like, always the performer.
That's right. And then she just, and then she gets up and sort of walks delicately over
with
her walker.
With her walker, and has to show us an old photo.
That's right.
And the other thing for me is what this film for me was so, was such a lovely reminder of is this idea of memory and how, you know, being able to recollect and how we are all puzzles and kind of messy, and you know, these moments of looking back can be celebratory, but they can sometimes be a little painful too, you know.
And you
did that so wonderfully with those moments where she gets up and hobbles over to the closet and has to show us this photo.
This is
who I used to be.
Yeah.
And in some ways, obviously, still are.
Still
right?
are,
Which
exactly.
Which is so great.
That's exactly. Thank you. That is just such a great appreciation of the film. Mm. Thank you. You picked up on all
oh,
the,
that's awesome.
the
well,
small
I'm so glad.
Things. But well, that's great.
Well, as soon as I found out about it, the performance side, and I think really appealed to me for a variety of reasons. But there's something for me, and I don't know if you would agree with me, and I'm sure the Jacobs family would, but there's something about being backstage that I can't put my finger on.
It's a private, secret, wonderful...
I don't get it. Like, it's
a
the
bubble.
Curtain's closed,
you see
all the messiness, you see somebody at the side getting changed, and there's a, you know, somebody used to be in the court, people smoking on the side, you know, not anymore so it's, much, but just the life backstage.
It's another world.
Yeah, it's another world, and then in moments, that curtain's going to open, and everything's going to change. I don't know. Yeah. I'm getting a shiver just talking about it.
No, I know. We are performers in a way,
so
we understand
for
this.
Sure.
But it's intimacy.
It is intimacy.
You're in a moment.
Right.
We were allowed in this film to a moment of intimacy.
And isn't that what a great concert is about, or a great speaker, or a great church service? Isn't that it's about that moment of connection?
That's
somebody
right.
gets, or a great politician. They have this ability to connect with you and make something that's so big, so intimate, that they're speaking right to you. And I
that's
think great
right.
circus performers have that ability, and clearly
Absolutely,
Dolly.
Because even backstage as you're watching them, you are watching the performance. Them being so present and focused in the moment pulls you into it. And so then you're witnessing another performance, mm-hmm. even before the lights have... And for me, the curtain opens and there's that separation of the public into what we've experienced, into what we're about to all experience.
Right, so much more going on than meets the eye, right?
That's right.
So we're going to have to wrap up in a couple of minutes. Tell me what you're working on. You mentioned it just briefly.
Yes. Well, I'm working on
it. Can you talk about
it? Actually, yes. Yeah. I'm working on a documentary on Irish immigration into Quebec in 1847.
Okay.
It's a historic documentary called Carrick's. It's on a ship that went down on the coast of the Gaspé in 1847.
Okay.
And I'm also working on a documentary called We Interrupt This Program with
great.
The CBC Doc Channel again on radio and revolution around the world. And I'm also putting on an exhibition called Warflowers. And Warflowers is these letters from World War I, and it'll be a touring exhibition. It'll be at the War Museum in 2017.
That's amazing. So when do you sleep and eat?
I don't, and I have a 5-year-old, so I never sleep and eat.
Well, then you must be truly...
She knows she's allowed to come and see Mommy's circus films, but not Mommy's war films. That's kind of
so
how
can
it goes.
Can I, just as we wrap up, share this? Congratulations on this film, by the
Thank
way,
you.
And on these next few.
Thank
and Wallflowers, they all sound fascinating, without a doubt. And will After Circus be getting some kind of a release, or do we know yet?
Yes, I'm super excited to tell everybody
awesome.
That actually it will be on the CBC documentary channel
fantastic.
On June 12th. I believe it's around 9 o'clock.
I'll make sure we post that.
I'm just so excited that people can see it.
That's
so
amazing.
It's on Doc Channel on that night.
That's really great.
I expect emails from everybody telling me what they thought.
Yes, there you go. It's now official.
Yeah.
I was in Vegas recently, and for a performer, first time ever. And a friend of mine got on a national TV show, and it was very exciting and very nerve-wracking for everybody, and it was spread out over 4 days. And what was really exciting was there was one performer from Toronto came down who I used to work with in a nightclub 26, 27 years ago.
Yeah.
Glenn Ottaway is his name. And then another Canadian act, Jeff and Tess Heveson, were there as well. And so we've got this one selfie of the four of us together, and I couldn't help but just sort of smile as I was watching this film and felt a little bit of camaraderie, you know? Almost welling up here, but there's that sense of connection, of relationship, of community, you know?
That's right.
It was the Canadians at Vegas at the Rio,
That's right.
And we were, and what did we do? I mean, we just reminisced.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something now, because now you've said Canadian. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, well, After Circus has been selected to represent Canada at the Smithsonian Circus Arts Festival in 2017.
Amazing.
So it'll be in Canada on Canada Day. It'll be at the Smithsonian in Washington.
Oh, that's
so we're really excited.
And will you be able to be there for
I will be there. Center ring.
With flags waving?
With flags waving.
Anyone coming with you or will anyone come?
Dolly and Pedro will be there
awesome.
And my producer will be
so
coming
glad.
Down. So
sorry I didn't get to meet them. Thank you so much for your time
thank
today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And again, congratulations on your film and enjoy the rest of Hot Docs. I think
thank
you've got
you.
A couple more days ahead of you.
Thank you very much.